We are now studying in the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4. We've been dealing with the wonderful position that the believer has in Christ in the first three chapters, and now we are dealing in chapter 4, 5 to 6, 9 with the walk, our walk in Christ. You see, in chapters 1, 2, and 3, we have what God in infinite grace has done for us. Now in chapters 4 to 6, what the believer in a life of devotion and service may do for God. And the first thing is our walk in unity. We are to walk in the unity of a spirit. Chapter 4, 1 to 16. And we were dealing the other day with how we are to walk in verses 1 to 3. We are to walk worthy of our calling. And then the second thing, verses 4 to 6, the basis for such a walk is unity in position, our oneness in Christ, in spirit, purpose, and service. And we are to be eager to keep this unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. And then in verses 7 to 16, we have the result of such a walk, verses 7 to 16. And here we have unity in service. Or, if I may take this little division, verses 1 to 3, we have the unity of the Spirit. In verses 4 to 6, we have unity in position. And then in verses 7 to 16, we have unity in service. And we were dealing with our last lesson in verse 7, that every believer in Christ is gifted. None are left out. Do you remember that verse? In verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And if one wants to follow through again on this question of the gifts of the believers, I would suggest you read Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8, and 1 Peter chapter 4, 10 to 11, and 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14. Each one must function in the church, the body of Christ. And I might suggest in this same connection that God is sovereign in our position in the body of Christ, and God is sovereign in the bestowal of gifts. All gifts are given for the edification of His people. God is sovereign in this. I can't tell God what gift I want. It's true we are exhorted in Corinthians chapter 14 to desire the best gifts. But after all, the Spirit of God, I read in fact, that the Spirit giveth to each one severally as He wills, not as we will. Now in verses 8-11 of Ephesians chapter 4, we are the source of the gifts. And these are gifts to the church. And will you please notice this? The source of the gifts is from a risen Christ. I'm going to read these verses, if I may. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that He ascended, what is it, but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. And He gave some to be apostles, and some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, and so on. Now the source of the gifts in verses 8 to 11 is from a risen Christ. When you come to Romans chapter 12 and Corinthians chapters 12 and 14, you'll notice these are gifts to the church, each individual being gifted. But in this passage, he is dealing especially with gifted men to do a specific job in the church of Christ. But all our gifts are from a risen Christ. I love to think of the Apostle Paul in defending his apostleship, how often he spoke of the fact that he did not receive his apostleship from men, but from a risen Christ, and rightly so. When you and I remember that when you and I became Christians, when we accepted Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, we were joined to the risen Christ. It's true that He died for us on the cross, but the cross is a tragedy without resurrection. And Paul insists on this fact, especially in the book of Galatians, where he takes quite a bit of time to discuss this question of his apostleship, that he received it not from man, nor was he called by man, but by a risen Christ. It's a wonderful thing to know that we have been joined to a risen Christ, and that this risen Christ is the one who is the source of all our gifts. Not only the one who descended into the lower parts of the earth, but the one who ascended far above all things. And as the book of Hebrews says, he sat down at the right hand of God, meaning that he has all authority in heaven and in earth. Was not this his claim in Matthew 28, as he left his disciples on the earth? Just before he left, he said, "All authority is mine in heaven and in earth." And because all authority is mine, he said, "Go ye and disciple all nations." And then you remember, he gave us a wonderful promise. "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." But what I'm really concerned about today is the fact that the gifts that God gives to us comes from a risen Christ. All our gifts. "Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." And then it goes in verses 9 and 10, who it is. He was the one who first descended into the lower parts of the earth and then ascended up far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And as a risen Christ, he gave to the church certain gifts. Now, you go down to the next verse. We have here the purpose of the gifts, verses 12 to 16. It might be well for me just for a moment to go into that 11th verse a little more fully, because I think there's a difference here between the gifts we have in Romans chapter 12 and the gifts mentioned in Corinthians 12 and 14. In those two portions of Scripture, these are gifts given to every member of the body of Christ. That is, the Spirit of God gives to each Christian some sort of gift. And gifts are given to be used. And as we walk in fellowship with Christ, then we use the gift that God has given to us for the edification of other Christians and for the increase of the body by bringing people to Christ and above all for the glorifying of Christ. But here you'll notice in verse 11, he gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets, some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers. These are gifted men. Now, everyone is not an evangelist. Everyone is not an apostle. Everyone is not a pastor. You know, I'm well aware of the fact that in these days when a church looks for a pastor, they forget that God hasn't given all the gifts to one man. And so when you call a pastor, as a rule, you want a man who's a good preacher, who's a good administrator, who's a good evangelist, who's a good pastor, good shepherd. He's got to have everything. And because he hasn't everything, you turn him down or you criticize him. May I suggest that God has not given to any man all the gifts. And it's high time we Christians in these days understood this. To one man is given the gift of evangelism. Now it's true that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're all to do the work of an evangelist, that is, preach the gospel. But an evangelist, I believe, in the New Testament sense, is one who's got a real tremendous burden for lost men and women and is gifted in giving out the gospel message. And he, as a rule, goes to places. I'm speaking of a New Testament evangelist in the early church. They went out where the gospel was not given, not building upon another man's foundation. They give out the word of life. Now, some men are very, very gifted in giving out the gospel. They're very gifted in leading people to Christ. And that's a God-given gift. Now, there are other men in the ministry who are teachers. It's true sometimes they may do the work of an evangelist in the preaching of the gospel, but their main ministry is teaching. And then I have some friends who are good pastors. They're not good preachers, but they're wonderful pastors. They've got a heart of compassion, just like a mother, as 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, they're like a mother with her sucking child. They care for you day and night, weep over you night and day with tears because of their heart for God's people. And by the way, may I say one of the greatest needs in America are for real pastors? You remember the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 9, at the end of the book, at the end of the chapter, could say, when he saw the multitudes about him, he had great compassion upon them because they were a sheep having no shepherds, or They were sheep having no pastures, no pastors. A pastor is an under-shepherd. And according to John chapter 21, the prerequisite for an under-shepherd is, first of all, wholehearted devotion to the person of Christ. Because I'll tell you, if you're not wholehearted devotion to the person of Christ, you'll crack under it. This is what keeps you up, is because of your love for the Savior, because of the burdens you bear. If you're a real pastor, you'll bear burdens that'll crush you sometimes. If it were not for your love for the Savior, these dear men couldn't carry on. I speak to you people. You belong to churches, and you consider your pastor. He carries burdens of which you know nothing. It's a tremendous job to be a pastor. Compassion, tenderness. And don't expect too much from your pastor. He doesn't have all the gifts. See, I wish we had a pastor who was a good gospel preacher. Well, maybe the Lord will give you one, but the chances are some of the other gifts he doesn't have. He may not have a pastoral gift. He may not be able to teach. So you have in this verse, he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Someone has well said that the age, the gospel age, the church age started with apostles and prophets. And the age is going to end with pastors and teachers. There are not many great evangelists, and there are not many great teachers, and there are not many great pastors. I think you Christians, pardon me, we Christians, ought to pray the Lord to raise up men who will be expositors of the Word of God, who will have a compassion and tenderness for the people of God. And sometimes I think we don't have them because the people of God do not pray for it. We expect too much from those whom God has set over us. And I just plead with you today to pray much for your pastor, for your teacher, for your evangelist, for your workers, that God may be pleased to use them to the praise of the glory of His grace. And you have a responsibility to pray for them and encourage them in the gospel ministry. And then in our next lesson, we'll tell you what their responsibility is. And you read this fourth chapter of Ephesians, will you please, by tomorrow morning, and the Lord bless you.